We're thrilled to announce that we now have 7 powerful devotionals available on YouVersion's Bible app. For those not in the know, YouVersion is the top Bible app in the world, and we're honored to be on this incredible platform. Our devotionals dive deep into the pillars that define the lion within us: health, wealth, and self. So whether you're seeking spiritual growth, financial wisdom, or personal development, these devotionals are tailor-made for you. So ready to embark on this transformative journey and unleash the lion within you? Head over to thelionwithin.us/YouVersion to access our devotions on the YouVersion app. Join thousands of like-minded individuals and dive into the Word with us. That's thelionwithin.us/YouVersion. That's YouVersion. And let's grow together and become the leaders God intends us to be. Welcome to The Lion Within Us, a podcast serving Christian men who are hungry to be the leaders God intends you to be. I'm your host, Chris Granger. Let's jump in. All right, guys, happy to have you here. Excited. This is your meat episode of the week, and we're going to be looking really hard at how to honor God. What a great topic. You know, we're going to get started with our scripture of the week. Our scripture this week is in the book of John. We looked at chapter 17, verse 4. It says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And I really unpacked that in depth in the spiritual kickoff episode. So go back and listen to that for that one particular verse, how we talked about honor, how we as Christian men can honor God no matter what we do. No matter if you're at work, doing your hobbies, hanging out with your kids, no matter, even at church serving, doing the stuff, obviously doing the stuff there. But no matter your outfit, just chilling out, whatever areas of your life, you have an opportunity to honor God in all that you do. So this is going to be exciting. Again, a lot of these solo episodes come directly from, I do a lot of teaching with our church on, you know, Sunday schools and teaching the kids and things like that. So usually I pick a lesson that I've taught from, and just if I go through the work of putting the lesson together, and usually my wife will tell me, hey, this is one you may want to share on the podcast, and we'll just go with it from there. So again, really enjoy teaching this stuff. Enjoy it. Hopefully you guys are plugged into a local, you know, gospel preaching, Bible believing church that just going to share the good news of the gospel each and every way. So this study, when I was doing the entire study, was around discerning the voice of God. Like, how do we discern that and understand the conviction that it tells us? And what's he calling us to do? Are we trusting him? Is it aligning to what God's, you know, his character and all his life? And now this idea of honoring God can be confusing. It really can be. But we have to remember one thing. God's voice always leads us to glorify him and accomplish whatever he desires, his purposes, his will. That's a big, big deal. So if he's telling you to do something that's not going to honor and glorify him, it's not from him. And when you just think about that word honor, the true definition of it, I went to G to G, right? Go to Google. High respect, great esteem. And I started thinking about what are some ways I've seen other people express their devotion to God. And I went back to my buddy, Adam Palmer, from the way back machine of The Lion Within Us. He came on and he talked about his book, All In. But he's just an Army vet that was serving and had a terrible tragedy. He actually was the vehicle he was riding in while serving was attacked. It blew up. And he sustained some pretty heavy injuries. And through that process, through that pain, through that recovery, that's where he met God. That's where he surrendered his life to the Lordship of Christ. And now what he's doing, he went all in. Like, he literally went all in. Everything he does every day, honor and glorifies God, and is trying to draw people to God, trying to draw people to him. And Adam's just using his story, his platform, to do that. And that's a great story of honoring him. But it doesn't just have to be just for guys like Adam who have these incredible stories. It's for all of us. So we're going to see right here as we dig into this scripture together today, guys, that This is a prayer from Jesus himself. And then he comes, this comes right after some pretty great teaching on the future, the Holy Spirit, warnings about the future, stuff like that. We're going to get right into the scripture. So for these episodes, guys, I read straight from the NASB version of the Bible. Feel free to, if you want to follow along, or if you have another version you want to read it that you enjoy better. And lots of people enjoy the NIV or the ESV, whatever different types of versions that you want to check out. But I'm reading from the NASB. So we're going to look at the first three verses right now. Okay. So it's John 17, looking at verses 1-3. It says, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you and the one true God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So let's just start thinking about this again. Remember, this came right after the upper room discourse. That starts in John 13. So we're in John 17. So that's like four chapters there where he's covering forgiveness. He's talking about, he's addressing the betrayal head on. He talks about heaven. He talks about the Holy Spirit. He discusses peace, fruitfulness, the world, and also his return. He talks about all these things. So it's kind of leading up to this. So when we look at verse 1, it says, Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and the Son may glorify you. My verse, my Bible, actually, above this whole section, calls it intercession of the Son of God, the high priestly prayer. And we start seeing right here that it begins with a look at glorification. And note where Jesus looks right here. He lifted up his eyes, up his eyes. Most people think of God being in heaven, even though God is everywhere. So he's calling right here, Father. He's lifting his eyes up, and he's saying, Father, or Abba. And this is an intimate and personal relationship. This is, and that's the beauty of this Christian faith, is that God is a relational God. He wants a relationship with each and every one of us. And he taught us the same way to pray in Matthew 6. Think about that. When he begins, my Father who art in heaven. That's it. He's showing us something right here. So when you think about glorifying something, what comes to mind? I mean, for me, it was I'm praising, I'm honoring, I'm giving credit where credit is due. But Jesus is going straight to the heart. Straight to the heart. And it speaks to two parts of the Trinity right here, the Son and the Father. The Son and the Father. Now, was he going to glorify God for just an hour? Because he says the hour has come. No, no. This is pointing to the significant timestamp, y'all, that he arrived with, that we've arrived with right here, where he would pay the penalty for our sins. So how can we honor and glorify God ourselves? Well, it could be simple stuff. Praying. Spending time in God's Word. Serving. Maybe in church, just serving your community. Maybe going to go on a mission trip. But a big way to honor and glorify God is by the fruit. The fruit. Are people seeing the fruit in what you do? The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. Do they see this? Do they see this? And then look at verse 2, guys. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Who's the you here, God? Think about that. Who is the you? Who's he speaking about? It's God. And the him is Jesus. The only path to eternal life is through confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's it. That's why for our spiritual kickoff episodes, all we talk about, for every episode rather, we always share the gospel. Because he has to be Lord of your life. If he hasn't been, you gotta take some action. Now, think about this for a second. When you read this stuff, thought crossed my mind. Have you ever known anybody that has an authority trip? Like people just have power and they abuse it? Unfortunately, I know some people like that. You guys probably know some people like that as well. Those people come to mind because they get in those positions of power and authority and they like to lord it over you. They like to let you know that they're in charge, right? But we don't see this right here. We don't see this. What we see right here is that the authority is given. But you know what? He wants to give it to each and every one of us. He wants to give us that same wisdom, that same encouragement through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's just amazing when you start thinking about all the stuff that Jesus is, the stuff that he claimed that he was. I am the bread of life, 6:35. He came to give us that abundant life, 10:10. Remember, steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and give it abundantly. He's the resurrection and the life, that's 11:25. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So the world's going to throw all these things at you. It's going to say this way's better, this way's better. I want Jesus. And I want you to want Jesus. Because all this authority, all the power, the resurrection power, all the free gift of salvation, that's there for us. So we have to choose to surrender to him. And let's look at verse 3 real quick together, okay? It says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and true God, one and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So think about this. What the definition of eternal life? This is a beautiful one right here. That definition that he gives us is to know God and to know Jesus. Isn't that pretty cool? And the word know right here is relational. So it speaks to that personal, intimate knowledge. Intimate knowledge. The intimacy, like that word abide also, abide's not right here. But that abide talks about the relationship, the intimacy that God wants with us. Now, think about this for a second. Put yourself in that room with the disciples. And then hear the words that our Lord says. He desires us to know him. He desires us to know him. Just think about this. You ever heard about the old saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know? Okay. That usually means you can obtain certain things in life due to the association with others versus maybe your own knowledge. Just by knowing people, you can get some things done. That's the gospel. Just by knowing Christ and wanting to be with him and seeking after him, he's gonna meet you where you are. He wants to know you. He wants to, wherever you're at, he wants to be with you. He wants to be a big part of your life. He's giving you the keys to eternal life, and it starts, all starts with that choice to surrender. And then once you surrender to him, surrender your ways. Because you may be thinking, well, Chris, I'm already a Christian, man. Like, what are you talking about? You got to surrender your ways. Surrender your ways. You have to let him know that his ways are better than your ways. So you have to start following him. And following him, no matter what, no matter who's around, no matter who's looking, no matter what people may say, you just choose to follow him. That's how you honor God. At least this is how, from these couple verses right here, we see that directly. This is a big deal, fellas. Big deal. So look, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. We're going to dive further into this scripture. We're going to pick up the next two verses, okay? So we'll be right back, guys.
If you're a man who's looking for greater spiritual guidance into how to become a better leader, finding resources that you can trust and then implement can be daunting. For me personally, I thought it was a lost cause, and I decided to take the action knowing that I wasn't alone. It was because of this wide gap that we created our Lion Within Us community, and the areas that we were helping Christian men grow are incredible. For instance, we built ways for guys to lean in and grow through fun events like our daily spiritual kickoff, where you get that much needed boost directly from God's word. Our Bible studies that always focus on how to discern and apply what we learn. And even our amazing forum where you can speak your mind without fear of getting shut down or judged by the extreme rules of modern day social media. On top of all that, we know that many men want help overcoming issues and becoming stronger in many different areas. That's why we created several mastermind groups where the iron truly sharpens the iron. Our community is about having a growth mindset, accountability, intentionality, and transparency. In other words, just leave fake you at home and come to community just as you are. I fully believe in what we've built. I see the impact it's making on men right now, and I would love to have you check it out. So start your very own 30-day free trial today to see how we can help you be a better leader. So if you're ready to take that first step, head over to thelionwithin.us and get started. Your journey begins here. Visit thelionwithin.us, and I'll see you inside the den.
All right, fellas, welcome back. So again, we're working through the idea of how do you honor God? How do you honor him? And we're working through this high priestly prayer in John 17. We're looking at parts of this together. We just read the first three verses. Now we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. Let's look at verses 4. Of course, verse 4 is part of our scripture week this week, first our spiritual kickoff. It says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished your work, which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Man, just think about the work Jesus did. Just think about, you may be thinking your job's hard. Think about Jesus. Think about what he had to do. I know there's lots of tough jobs out there. There's teachers. I think that's some of the biggest, hardest work out there. Cops, social workers, missionaries, heck, brain surgeons, heart doctors. It's all out there, right? They're all difficult and noble. But what Jesus was sent to do was the hardest assignment ever given. It really was. I mean, if you're trying to take away the sin of the world, man, that's a big burden. And we see in verse 4, which we spent a lot of time on spiritual kickoff talking about this, he was sent here to do the Father's work. The Father's work. The finishing work. Jesus knows, this is the mind-blowing part. He knows what is to come. He knows that it's not going to end well for him personally. It's not. However, he did know, whatever he knew, he wanted others to know at this moment, he was only doing it to glorify the Father and only doing it to do what the Father has called him to do. And the only path to salvation that we all have, guys, is through the finishing work that he did for us on the cross. Because there's too many, and I spent a lot of time, I'm recording this on a Monday. I just finished teaching yesterday. Lots of talk around works and stuff that we do. Because we think we could just nice our way in or work our way into heaven. That's works-based righteousness. It's just not accurate. I've been teaching a lot of kids lately. We've been talking through, you know, praying and reading your Bible and going to church and being a nice person and listening to your teacher and obeying your parents and not hitting your brother or sister and all those things, right? They're all inherently good. You guys have the same type of list, right? All the stuff that we want to do to you know, ultimately just be good citizens. But at the end of the day, that's not saving you. That's not going to save you. Let's just face the facts. Hell is full of a lot of good people. Our definition of good. The problem is, you know, there's nothing we can do to overcome that sin gap. And Jesus is saying right here, look, he's come to do the work that the Father's called him to do. And as hard as it was for him to do that work, why won't we accept the gift he's given us? And then why are we making up excuses for doing the work that God's called us to do? Why do we do that? I think one reason, pride. Pride's a big one. Pride takes out a lot of people. Pride's a big one in my life. I have to surrender that daily. Another reason you may not do what God's called you to do, your schedule. You're just doggone it busy. And look, I get it. It is hard to be a dad these days, to be a granddad, whatever you guys are at in life. It's hard. Your schedules are ridiculously crazy. You're so busy. But I had a buddy, old Jeremiah, being under Satan's yoke. And that just stuck with me. And he told me that. Just be careful for the busyness. Sometimes it's debt. We're just making bad decisions with our finances. And because of those bad decisions with our finances, because we're not being good stewards, we can't do what God's calling us to do because we've dug this hole. By the way, we got help for that as well. We talk a lot about finances at the line within us. Maybe it's just not a priority thing. Maybe our calendars are way too focused on the tasks that we got to get done. And there's nothing there to keep us locked in on what the priorities are in our life. It's a big deal. How do the priorities show up? Or it could just be Satan. Satan could just be trying to trip you up, and it could be working. But we need to understand all these different obstacles. And then what can we do to engineer and work our way around those obstacles to remove them from our life? Now check this out, verse 5. It says, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I have had with you before the world was." He was ready to return to his Father. He just was. And think about that for a minute. Before the world began, Jesus was. It's mind blowing. Because if we look at the very, very beginning of John, so I'm just going to flip here real quick to John 1. Check this out. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and there was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend." And if you look right here at verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." We have to remember this at all times. Jesus had a divine origin. He was fully man, but at the same time, fully God. He took on that flesh for us. But He never had a moment where He was not fully God. And that can be so difficult for us to wrap our finite minds around. I don't know if I'll never get it until I get to heaven. And then who knows at that point. At that point, I really won't care because I'll be there with Him. But He goes back to the world, to the Word, rather. Sorry, He goes back to the Word of glory right here. And we see that we should try to find ways to apply this in our life directly. Because, I mean, it says right here, "Glorify me together with yourself in the glory which I had with you before the world was." This is the glory. The ultimate call Jesus gave us was to love God and love our neighbors. But it starts with that loving God. The best way you can glorify Him, you love Him daily, you love others daily, and next thing you know, you're walking it out. You're putting that faith into action. You're becoming a doer of the Word versus just being a hearer. We don't want to just hear this stuff, fellas. We got to put it into action. We got to do something with it. This is a big, big deal. All right, so look, we're going to take our last break, guys. We'll come back. We're going to look at a few more verses in John 17 as we keep talking about this idea of honoring God. We'll be right back. I find that it helps me to have a guide at times when I'm reading and studying the Bible. One way that helps me is by using devotionals to guide not only what I read, but insights into the scriptures themselves. So we were blessed to become an author on the YouVersion Bible app, and we saw an immediate opportunity to help others with devotionals around the areas that we spend the most time talking about at The Lion Within Us. So if you enjoy the show, you may enjoy these devos as well. We have some guys that are using them as part of their small groups, as well as they're a great way to get conversations going. So to see the ones that we've created, head over to thelionwithin.us/YouVersion, and that's YouVersion, to learn more. So that's thelionwithin.us/YouVersion to get started with your own men's devotional today. All right, guys, welcome back. So look, we're working through this John 17, this high priestly prayer that Jesus gave us to have a better understanding of how we can honor God. What does this look like? So now let's check out. We're going to look at verses 6-9 here. We're going to kind of unpack these together. So chapter 17, verse 6 says, "I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. But now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you. And they believe that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Man, this prayer turns personal, doesn't it? It's really personal. Jesus is praying over his disciples right here. How beautiful is this? Remember, they were in the room with him at this time. And he had prayed. You know, he went praying before he selected them. Now he's praying for them again. And for 3 years, they were with him. They were watching. They were learning. They were growing. They were being challenged. All these things were happening. And they were growing closer and closer and closer with their own relationship with God. It's so cool how this happens. And we look at verse 6. I have manifested your name to the man whom you give me of this world. They were yours. You've kept them to me. And they have kept your word. What a powerful sentence. Just think about that. Just sitting there with him and hearing the Messiah say that you were given to him. How cool is that? Talk about being picked on the right baseball team. Good gracious. How about the part where they were yours? Such a great statement. We're all God's, every single one of us. And the beauty of this verse, really, is around the part about around obedience. Because the disciples, they were just like the rest of us. They had free will. They could have rejected Jesus. They could say, "I don't think so, bro. Have you lost it?" But no, what did they do? They chose a better route. Not an easier route, a better route. And they chose not just to follow him, but to obey. Obey. Does this mean they never messed up? Absolutely not. Later that same night, Peter will deny Jesus 3 times. What it really means is they surrender to his lordship and it'll be reconciled to Jesus after the resurrection. But they made the choice, the choice that we have, to surrender their ways and follow his ways. That's big. That's big. And you just can't fly by this stuff. Now check out verse 7 and 8 right here. It says, they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you give me, I've given them. And they received them. And they understood that I came forth from you. And they believed that you sent me. He's doubling down here. Jesus is doubling down on his connection to God, who ultimately sent him to do what he was called to do. That's it. He lets them know that he's telling them right here that from the Father is where he gets his ultimate source of truth and power. He's making it as clear as he possibly can about the divinity of his nature and who the person of Jesus Christ is. So who is that? The Son of God in flesh, right here, ready to pay the penalty for sin and for the whole world. But that is who he is. He's not mixing anything up here. Then he says right here in verse 9, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. He's given a clear call right here, a very clear call about who he was pouring out this prayer for. Because Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. Again, it's God. He knew all the persecution, the crucifixion, the insults, the beatings, the flogging, the scourging, all that stuff. He knew. But he also knew that his disciples needed to be in the world, but not of the world. And that can be hard. That can be so hard for us as we start thinking about how we live our life, and then how the disciples, how radical the message was that they were tasked with delivering. If you go back and look at church history, all of them except for John were executed. They were martyrs, every single one of them. And then John was exiled to an island. So I mean, it's not like he had sunshine and rainbows for his journey. No, it was hard. Many Christians struggle with this. It's a big one. because it's hard not to be of the world. Let's just face it. The world, where we're at, right? It's just where we are. And it's like my buddy David Benham. I think he just had the best analogy. He's been on a couple times, but I think this was the first time he was on. He's like, bro, it's all about chocolate chip cookies. I'm like, all right, what are you talking about, Dave? He's like, seriously, mixing in, not blending in. So how do you honor God? You mix into this world. And his analogy around cookies where, you know, you have eggs, you have flour, you have sugar, all the ingredients. I don't know all the ingredients to make chocolate chip cookies, but that's the ingredients to make the dough. And you blend all that stuff together. And when the dough is blended together, you can't tell what's sugar, what's flour, what's eggs, what's butter, what's all, you know, all the different stuff. You can't tell that individually. Then you take the chocolate chips and you mix them in. And you mix them in because that's the core, that's what makes a cookie, a chocolate chip cookie. And they don't blend in. The chocolate chips are distinguishable in the cookie dough. Even when they go in the oven, when they come out, you can actually see, you can physically see, this is the chocolate chip part of the cookie. This is the cookie part. That's it. They're not blending together. So we go out to the world. We are called not to blend. We're called to be with Christ, to mix in, to be the light. So how do we do that? Well, we are obedient to what he's calling us to do. That's what it's all about. When Jesus is giving you encouragement today to maybe just share love with a neighbor or with a stranger, and you take that step of obedience, that's how you're honoring him. That's how you're glorifying him. Because Jesus had a prayer for each and every one of us. And his prayer for us was to rest in his truth. Because we have to recognize that trials are going to come. Persecution is going to exist. It just is. The way is narrow. I get it. But standing with Jesus is the only way we're ever going to find true peace this side of heaven. Because he's interceding for us. You guys are leaders. You listen to this show because you want to know about leadership. Jesus showed leadership by interceding for us. He did it. And the greatest way we can honor him is to intercede in the lives of others. This is a big, big deal. Share the gospel. But then also, outside of just sharing the gospel, this is where my heart's been a lot lately. Discipling others. Disciple others. Let that be part of your Christian journey. Think about who you're discipling. Think about who's discipling you. There needs to be some people in your life that are sharpening you as well, that are helping you grow, that are lifting you up. You got to have a Paul. You got to have a Barnabas. You got to have a Timothy in your life. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, okay, show me who those guys are. I need to know them. I want to help people. I need help as well. Who's ahead of me? Who's behind me? Now, who can just be an encouragement for me? And then once this Holy Spirit reveals this to you, do something about it. Be authentic. Be vulnerable. Be transparent. Go to someone and say, I need help. You're really someone that inspires me. Can we just meet for coffee every so often? Don't make it weird. Don't say, hey, will you disciple me in my walk with Jesus Christ? I mean, if you want to, okay. Just ask people for coffee. I want some advice. I like to talk about life. Be amazed at how many guys would just jump all over that opportunity. Jump all over it. So, guys, this, as we kind of wrap up here, just think about this. What ways are you seeing others expressing their devotion to God? And then what ways do others see you expressing your devotion to God? Because we've got to make this personal. It's too doggone easy to take this and try to outsource this stuff or to throw rocks or see how other people are doing stuff or be judgmental. Make this a personal thing this week. What are you doing today? The work that you do, the interactions that you have, the conversations, the people you run across. Maybe it's not just work. Maybe it's just out in this world. Maybe you're grocery shopping. Whatever you're doing, how are you honoring God? How could you glorify him in that moment. If you start challenging yourself with this, all right, God, I want to honor and glorify you right here. Be ready. He's going to give you some wisdom. He's going to give you just some discernment. And at that point, you got a choice to make. Are you going to do it or not? That's really it. Are you going to do it or not? I can't make you do it. I just encourage you, if the Holy Spirit's convicting you, take the step of obedience. Just take the step of obedience. Listen to what he says. And then remember, do whatever he tells you to do. That's how you honor and glorify God. So guys, I hope you enjoyed this. You know, again, I enjoyed just teaching this stuff. I really just thoroughly just feel like this is an area that God's called me to with the teaching aspect. Do a lot of this within the line as well. We're big on teaching and discipling and helping and encouraging. So if you don't have discipleship, that's not a part of your life. Our community is where it's at. I'm just going to be honest. It's not some shameless plug. I believe in it because it's real and it works. And having brothers in Christ that will come alongside you, that will be there for you, that you can throw the hard questions. You know, how do you deal with your kid who's having suicidal thoughts? How do I overcome my pornography addiction? You know, how do I get out of debt because I've made so many terrible decisions? I don't know if we're ever going to see the light of day. You start sharing that kind of truth around a bunch of believing, strong Christian men, you're going to get some answers. You're going to get support. You're going to get encouragement. So if you need that right now, thelionwithin.us. Start your free trial. Jump in our community with us. We would love to have you. Absolutely love it. Check out our devotions on YouVersion. Check out our summit, where we talk about Christian leadership, how to be a stronger Christian leader with a heavy slant on how do you bring this into the business world, to your career. So guys, we have tons and tons and tons of resources. TheLionWithin.us. Share this with others as well, guys. That's how the podcast grows. Is we pray that Christian men like you, and ladies, we know we have a lot of lady listeners, take the time just to share it with others. Talk about it with your small groups. Talk about it with your friends. Hey, this new podcast I started listening to, we talk a lot about leadership of Christian men. I think you may enjoy it. Just check it out. If they don't like it, that's okay. You did your part. All right. So, guys, give us a rating and review if you would. That'd be huge if you would just give us a 5-star rating. Write a short 1 or 2 sentence reviews. They really lift us up as well. Again, thelionwithin.us is where you find all our resources, stuff for our live events, stuff for our Bible studies, all the stuff and ways to join the community. It's all at thelionwithin.us. Okay. So, come back on Friday, guys, for our fun Friday. We'll have a lot of good tips. We'll have some good dad jokes for you, book of the week, all the fun stuff you get on your Fun Friday episode. So have a great day. Get after it. Looking forward to hearing from you guys. And remember, just keep unleashing the lion.